Welcome to the Love on the Go podcast, brought to you by Carolina's Matchmaker. I'm Lori Burzak, and for over 17 years, I've been helping singles find the relationship of their dreams all over the Carolinas. Along the journey, I've met so many amazing professionals and experts from various fields, and I'm excited to introduce them to you. What's my goal? I want to help you look at love and relationships in a new way and to grow in your understanding of how love works. Let's learn together how people have overcome personal obstacles and have found love, first and foremost with themselves. The ultimate goal is realizing that you are worthy and deserving of love. Let's get started. Hello, hello, hello. Today we are going to do a solo podcast. I am your guest today. And before I start, I just want to say that I've been talking to various people recently who are saying that this podcast is meaningful to them. And that feels great to hear. And if you have been listening to my podcast and you like what you're hearing, you have ideas for me of topics that you'd love for me to cover, shoot me a DM on Insta or Facebook or email me, Lori, L-A-U-R-I-E at carolinasmatchmaker.com. And let me know your thoughts. I'd love for you to help me by reviewing the podcast. I know you can do that with Apple pretty easily. Really appreciate it. I'd love to boost this. So thank you. Thank you for listening. I thought it would be important to have a conversation about intimacy and when to be intimate once you get into a relationship. And I have a lot of clients that hire me for matchmaking, for online dating assistance, and they just don't know. So I have a lot of thoughts around it and I want to go through it with you. And I'd love your feedback too. But what I do know is that sometimes people think that just because they've been intimate before, that that is something since they've been there, done that, that they can kind of jump into that sooner than later. And what they're not always thinking about is the impact that it's going to make both on the relationship as well as with the rest of their dating. People don't always feel comfortable dating other people while they're being intimate with one person. It definitely stalls out the relationship. If things aren't going well in other areas of the relationship, it can actually put an end to the relationship and the progression of the relationship. So here's what I always suggest to people. Number one, so we're going to talk about heterosexual relationships specifically in this conversation initially, since that's my expertise. So with hetero relationships, women, if they become intimate with somebody, there is a risk of them getting anxious after intimacy, a much higher risk of anxiety if they are not feeling that they are in touch with the person that they're dating enough, or if they're feeling like things aren't always stable once they are intimate. And I'll give you an example. So it's really important that when a woman starts dating a man, that she sees consistency, so that she sees ongoing conversation, which includes texting, phone calls, hopefully, and always knowing when you're going to see the person again. So there's never any question. So if 3 days goes by after a date and she hasn't heard from him, that can create anxiety. If she has sex with him and she doesn't hear from him for 3 days, her anxiety is definitely going to get really extra, to say the least. So I always suggest to people to get to know their future intimate partners for a little while before they jump into bed, so that their anxiety is quelled and so that they feel secure in the relationship. So what does that look like exactly? First of all, you need to get through at least 5 in-person dates to make sure that you have the emotional connection and you can, you're getting to a lot of conversations that are not superficial. So like dates 1 through 3 is kind of the fun dates where you're getting to know each other kind of on a superficial level. Do you get along? Are you laughing together? You've talked about things like travel and family, siblings and friendships and what you like to do for fun. Then dates 4 and 5 get a little bit more deep, hopefully. And if it hasn't by that point, then I recommend doing some really good open-ended questions where you're asking some things that are more thought-provoking, opening up your heart to somebody and really kind of hearing what that person thinks about on a higher level. So you're talking about things possibly to do with things that didn't go so well in your life. Perhaps there's something you want to share about, growing up or challenges that you have with work or things that have happened in previous relationships. That's all the kind of things that are probably going on in dates 4 and 5. So dates 1 to 5, you can definitely get a taste of how does the other person communicate? Are they calling? Do they want to FaceTime? How often are they texting? How long does it take for them to text you back? Do you know when you're going to be seeing them? Is it just once a week? Is it multiple times a week? Does it feel a little bit like love bombing where they're constantly coming at you, hours and hours and hours a day of texting? And how deep is that connection going? Which honestly is a red flag. So be very aware of that. And if you're getting that gut feeling that it feels like too much and it doesn't feel like a normal, regulated course of dating, then notice it, because that is definitely what narcissistic behavior looks like, borderline personality behavior, or even just somebody who's like super anxious. So at first it can kind of feel great because you feel like, wow, this person's really paying attention to me. They're reaching out a lot. It just needs to be regulated. So just notice your nervous system when you're getting bombarded with a lot of action and see what it feels like. And your nervous system is going to tell you something's up. You're going to get like a little anxiety in your stomach. You're going to feel elevated in some way where you know that something's happening that it really shouldn't be as intense that early on. Later on, of course, when people fall in love, it's all over the place. But in the beginning, you want to try to keep it kind of stabilized if you can. That doesn't mean you can't be excited, but it's just if they're really coming at you strong and heavy, just be cautious. So say you get to date number 5. That's when you can decide that you want to be exclusive with them, which doesn't necessarily mean that that's when you sleep with them. It just means that you both have the conversation of maybe we shouldn't date other people. Let's see where this relationship can go. And then you basically both are taking yourselves off the market in order to explore the relationship. I've just noticed anecdotally in as a matchmaker for 18 years now, and helping all these people with date coaching, that when someone goes on 5 dates or more, it generally turns into a relationship of 6 months or more. It's just something I've noticed. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well. So basically, once you decide to be exclusive, then notice, do things change at all? I was talking to one of my coaching clients a few months back, and she said, once we decided that we were going to be exclusive, things just felt calmer for her. She felt more relaxed around it. She was like, okay, now I can focus. I don't have to date other people and we can see how it goes. And what I've observed is generally it's the guy who says, listen, I am not interested in dating other people right now. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm not interested in dating anyone else. I'd like to see where this goes. And that's a point where the woman can say, I agree. Let's see where this goes. There is definitely that feeling of the man pursues, the woman chooses whether or not she would like to be pursued. It's such an old-fashioned idea. I get it. I understand. I hate it too, but I do think there's something to it. I think it's really important for women to always have lots of eggs in their basket kind of idea. Like if one person doesn't work out, there's another one right behind that person so that we don't get too invested in one individual. That's why online dating is so important, because it allows us to It allows the user to be able to date different people until they become exclusive with someone. So I hope this all makes sense right now where I'm at. So anyway, what I would recommend is that once you become exclusive, watch how the other person is in touch with you. Has it changed at all? Do you always know when you're going to be seeing them again? At that point, you should be hearing from them every day. If not every other day, but really every day, you should be hearing from the person that you're exclusive with. Just think, this is how you want this relationship to look. Do you really want somebody not reaching out to you every day? And that it doesn't have to be one person or another. It should be back and forth, both of you. I was talking to one of my clients recently, and he shared with me that they'd gone on like 8 dates so far. They hadn't had the exclusivity conversation, and he was really making all the effort in terms of reaching out and traveling to her. They were different states. And I wanted to see what would happen if they had that exclusivity conversation. They did. And as it turns out, she wasn't ready for anything exclusive. And so we were able to have the conversation about him moving on, maybe continuing to see her. But fortunately, you know, he hadn't, they didn't have that, they didn't have sex yet. And so, you know, he didn't feel guilty about dating other people because he would have. And she was able to disconnect the physical from the emotional and just look at him on an emotional level, which is good. Because what happens sometimes is people, they get excited because they're intimate with someone, even if the emotional relationship isn't there, and they get caught up with the physical, and then everything else kind of stagnates. And sometimes they will hold on to the relationship because it's great in bed, but it's not in other areas. So the idea is to make sure that all the other areas of the relationship are intact before becoming intimate, so you can keep a straight head around all of it, and you can observe if all the things are in line. For example, it gives you plenty of opportunities to see how they react to different situations. Okay, so backing it up again. So say you decide to become exclusive, then you have an opportunity to introduce your person to friends and family if you haven't done that already. You get to see them in different scenarios in traffic. You know, how do they handle different situations? Do they get angry quickly? Do they get snappy when they're tired? How do they react to different scenarios that you haven't seen them in yet? Because obviously everybody's on their very best behavior for the short while in the beginning. And then you get to really observe kind of the way they behave in the world. How do they treat the waiter? How do they talk to their parents or a sibling or a friend on the phone? Do you find that they are talking down about people in their lives? Are they super negative? What are they like after a long day of work? So you get to like really observe, and you get to spend as much time with them as you want, as you can, to like really see if you're synced up. Once you find that your person is consistently in communication to the point where you're not at all feeling anxious, and this is for men and for women, and as well as, okay, you always know when you're going to see them, you have a fair idea of how they're going to react to different situations, and it all feels good, and it's been a substantial amount of time, and I would say 3 months. Potentially, hopefully, at least 3 months before you do that. And then when you're feeling really secure, go ahead. That's my opinion. You also want to make sure that they have the same long-term goals, whatever that is for you. Do you want to get married and have babies? That all needs to be covered. How do they spend their money? Is it similar to you? Do you have intellectual conversation with them? Are you excited about talking to them about what's going on in your day? That person should be the first person that you go to when something exciting happens in your life. Like you think, oh, I got to tell that person about this. I can't wait to share this. Do they remember the things that you tell them? Are they able to recount it back to you, or are they forgetting everything? Do you trust them? Are they following through with the things that they're saying to you? All of those things need to be in place to be able to allow your anxiety to be non-existent, hopefully. You want to be feeling really safe and secure about the person ahead of all of this. And you want to also, you can have conversations around like, where do you see this going? And what is your timeline? If you're young and you want to get married and have a family or just get married, what does their timeline look like? If they're like, yeah, I'm just not interested in, another 5 years getting married, and you're 32 as a female, you may want to get married sooner than that if you want to start a family. So you can discover a lot during that time period, because once you do jump into bed with someone and become intimate, it definitely takes the relationship to another level, and it kind of fogs your brain with all the things because you're happy, and you're getting all the dopamine hits and all the things that are happening from being in that type of relationship. So just make sure all of your questions are answered about future items. Ensure that the person is who they say they are, in terms of, do they follow through with whatever it is that they're telling you they are in the world and how they behave? And are they in touch with you enough? Because that's really, it's not going to change that much the way that they are. And if something needs to be tweaked, have the conversation. Don't be afraid to have conflict conversations. Doesn't mean fighting, but it does mean sticking up for yourself in a situation. If you're not happy how things are going, state it. If they're always late, or if they, let's start with that. If they're always late, that is something that can change if the person is looking to change it. Like when I first started dating my husband, I was usually late for things, and he's very prompt, if not early, for things. And it was an issue at the beginning. And then I recognized that it disturbed him when I was late. And then I also recognized after a while that it also doesn't feel good to the person that's waiting on you when you're late. So I am generally on time now. I'd say, I don't know, 95%, 98% of the time I'm on time. It makes me feel good. When I'm late, I feel anxious. I don't like it. However, if you're with someone where they don't care and they're not going to change if they're going to be late, you have two options. Either you can say to them, listen, if you're going to be late, that's on you, but I'm going to be on time, so I'm going to leave early and I'll just meet you there and let it go. Or if it really bothers you, you can have an agreement of, well, if it's okay with you, then I'm going to tell you that we need to be there at noon when it's really 12:30, which I'm not a fan of that idea, by the way, because I just feel like it's childish. But I do know couples that do it that way, and it works for them. Whatever. So that's just like a small example. And I know I'm in the weeds a little bit here, but I'm just telling you, there's so much I want to go over with you. But so now, before you have sex, get tested. I have plenty of clients that do this ahead. And I know it doesn't sound romantic, but it's important. And if your partner says, well, I was tested, before my last girlfriend, and I know that she wasn't with anybody, yeah, that is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about getting tested fresh before this particular relationship. Now, there are tons of people with STIs. It's not a deal breaker. But the important thing is to have that open and honest conversation, which is a very scary one. And I recognize that. So, one thing that you can do is when the time is right, this is not dates 1 to 5, by the way. It's after you've decided, I think this is someone that I'd like to be exclusive with, then you have the conversation and explain it in just kind of medical terminology, state the facts. Explain what kind of medications you're on. Explain, if you when you know that you're going to be having some kind of outbreak, like your body tells you, so you're not going to be intimate with them at that point in time. Talk to them about safety and everything that you understand. If they want to talk to your doctor about it, go with you to your next appointment discussing it. They can do that. I once worked with a woman who had MS, and she and I had a conversation ahead of telling him, she was really nervous. She was totally in love with this guy, and she really, really wanted to tell him well so that he didn't just say, "I this is too much. I can't handle this at all." There's so many breakthroughs with medicine, and she had her MS like under total control, and was on various medications. P.S. She's had kids since then, and everything is going really well for her. But she was really worried about having the conversation. And so I talked to a therapist friend of mine, and she suggested to me, which I shared with my client, basically, sitting down when she's calm, cool, and collected, just saying, "Hey, listen, I want to talk to you about something. You can say I'm a little nervous about it. But I want to let you know that I have blank, whatever it is, an STI, MS, some kind of, system, something that some kind of medical condition. And, here are the facts, A, B, C. Here's how I handle it medically. Boom, boom, boom. Here's when I know that it isn't good timing for me or for my partners. And, just real matter of fact, no scare tactics, don't think, don't lead with, I know this could be a deal breaker for you, because it's not. I mean, I think, if someone is really excited to be with you, you can figure it out. Like I said, a lot of the population has STIs or some kind of chronic issue that's going on with them. Some of it may or may not be something that can be passed on to the other person, obviously, but there are plenty of people that do. And they work around it, and plenty of couples, they figure it out. So that's what I want to say about that. Once you are intimate with someone, I think it's really important to know that sex doesn't always happen spontaneously. I know in the beginning it's always very exciting and it happens that way, but after sometimes even a short while, it does become something that becomes infrequently even for folks. I've heard this even honestly from people in their 20s and early 30s. So I think it's important to just have really open and honest conversations with your partner about this. I suggested to someone last week when I was on a coaching call, that you can take turns initiating sex. You can choose days of the week. I know that just sounds so unromantic, but what's good about it is that each person knows it's coming, it's something to look forward to. The woman or the man can get excited about it. Or you could decide that day, whatever it is. But I guess the point is that for people that, sometimes people do have medical conditions where their sex drive is low, whatever it is. It's a rare day that I talk to someone and they're like, "Yeah, I had sex and I hated it." Normally, it's the build up to having sex where they're like, "Okay, I know I got to do this. I'm not excited about it. I have a low sex drive. I've been working hard. I'm exhausted at night." I know this is an issue for a lot of people. They want to please their partner, but they're tired, and then they kind of don't know how to talk about it. So the more open and honest you can be with your partner about frequency of sex and desire, the last thing that you want is for your partner to feel like you're not into them, you're not excited about being with them, because it really doesn't have anything to do with the partner. It has to do with the person, whether it be, low testosterone, whether it be just simply exhaustion, whether it be a lower sex drive than the partner has. As long as you're open about it, and as long as the person is vocal about how much they care about the other person. Now, at the end of the day, if you have those big conversations and your needs are still not being met, then it may not be the right person for you. And that is something that you discover sort of earlier on in the relationship. But having those deeper conversations really allows you to get closer to your partner and to figure things out, as well as, what's going on in the bed, having those conversations. And I would recommend you don't do them if you're dissatisfied in one way or another, or you want it to be enhanced, have that conversation somewhere else. It could be out to dinner. It could be in the car. It could be downstairs in the family room, where it's a conversation about your sex life, but not like in the midst of it all. And then you can kind of outline, what it is that you're really seeking and whether or not it's happening and how to get to the experience that you're looking for. Do it kindly. People are really sensitive around this issue. Sometimes if there's performance issues for a guy, for example, the anxiety of, is this going to happen again, is kind of worse than anything else. So I was working with one woman a while back, and she told me that he was having some issues around performance. And once they kind of got past one experience and it was a positive one, I think that his nervous system relaxed and it wasn't an issue anymore. But I think that the pressure and the buildup, literally and figuratively, is what kind of was warping his performance. And so they were able to kind of get past that, if that makes sense. Same thing with a woman who is having painful sex. There's different things that can be done. You need to speak to your doctor about it. But sometimes a woman will really tense up, and because she's so nervous, when really what she needs to be doing is calming down her nervous system, do a meditation, do different things so that she can relax and then her body will become relaxed. And listen, I know I'm getting a little bit in the weeds here too, but there's just a lot to this. And just know that anything that you're experiencing, whether it be the very beginning stages of when to become intimate up until the end, or the middle of the relationship where everything's kind of going, but it's not exactly what you want, where you want it to be. The main important thing I want you to take away from this conversation is, how does it feel? Do you recognize that there is nothing unusual about your situation, that you're having a human experience around all of it? I want you to feel comfortable having the conversations that you need to have around it with your partner. And if it's not received well, if your partner gets defensive, you need to create a safe space. Sometimes people do get defensive, but call them out in a kind way and just say, even in advance, listen, I want to have a conversation with you. The most important thing is I want us both to hear each other. Let's be kind to one another. Ground rules, where there's no name calling, cursing, walking out of the room, getting defensive. Let's have this conversation until it's complete. Or if it's not complete and you need to think about it a little bit, no problem. Let's move on to another conversation. So just in your own way, have that. And if they don't receive it well and they get mean, or they're non-reactive, or sometimes people do need to think about it and come back. But if there's real negativity and there's anything cruel about it, that person is definitely not your person. Walk away. There are so many amazing people out there in the world. And honestly, it's also, like I always say, perfectly fine to be on your own. There's a lot of people out there that are in a relationship that aren't happy, married, single, all of it. So, find the things that bring you joy in life and chase that. The happier you are, the more content you are in life, the more opportunity for you to attract somebody in that is sort of that same high level vibration as you. So, would love to hear your comments about this podcast. Shoot me a DM, let me know what you think, and best of luck, and we will talk soon.
Thanks for listening to Love on the Go. I hope you join us on our next episode. You can make sure to know when it is by following us wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, if you enjoyed it, it'd be great if you left us a review. I'd appreciate it. In the meantime, to learn more about me and how my team can help you, visit carolinasmatchmaker.com. Until next time.